That can stand between this couple and God, an offended God. No mediate. Sure, I couldn't even hardly sleep last night, thinking of it. You know, Samuel said, if man sin against man, the government and people can come and intercede for him. But if a man sin against God, who's gonna intercede? Who's going into that gap? No one. And that time there, Jesus was not there as our mediator. Today, we are so fortunate, so glad, so, how can I call it? That we have a mediator. And there these couples stand without one. Guilty. Separated. And then I think the colors of the deceiver is being displayed and revealed, because he promised them so much. What went wrong? He promised them life. They received death. They promised, I put a few things. They promised them safety. Yes, condemnation. They promised them immorality. They have it already. They did have it. As if there will be more than what they have. They have everything. Now it is perishing. He promised them to know all things. Well, they lost now all things. And he promised them that they will be like two little gods. Sorry for that, but you're going to be like God. Two little gods with a small letter G. And what did they find? They are prisoners of sin. And no gods. Not even like him. Prisoners. That is the color. The true color of the deceiver. And face value, it looks like he know what he's talking about. Until you fall into that trap. Until you give in. Maybe, well, if I can give them the benefit of the doubt, they've never been tempted before. They've never been tempted before. They never even know that Satan can be so schemy and sly like this. But for us who have maybe, you know, we have the Bible, we have so many knowledge and we know what is to be tempted. What about us? And sometimes we think we can hide from God with our things in our lives. I don't mention names. I can remember one day in my counseling room, can't remember date, year, whatsoever. Vividly, I can remember that this guy sit in front of me and we struggle with stuff going through and we ask God for intervention and revealing and we get nowhere. And I ask him that maybe you must ask God if you are the one who keep the door open or you are the one who don't want to come forth. I'm not talking now. I'm talking about it's a long time ago. Maybe it's you. We're looking for everywhere else, but it's maybe you are the problem. You are. We can't hide from God. And I want you to listen to the infallible word of God. Listen to this. And I want to hasten here. Psalm 139, verse 7 to 12. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light became night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Where are you going to run? You can run and you're going to hide, but God will find you. Because listen to this verse. For the eyes of the Lord reigns throughout the earth, yea, to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Jeremiah 23:24. Can anyone hide in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord. You want to think again? Matthew 10:26. So do not be afraid of them. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. There's no place, not even in hell. God knows everything what goes on there. There's nothing. But we try and we think we're gonna, you know, he know nothing. And we're gonna get away with that thing that God forbid. That thing that isolate me from God. That's why many children of God, I don't talk about the unbelievers. I talk about children of God. That's why they don't grow spiritually. You know, we just moved from a mountaintop experience a week or what ago with Pentecost. For me, it was a mountaintop experience. And after that week, we have to go back to the valleys. Put to practice what we learned on the mountaintops. And it's there where the demons is, and all the dogs and all our enemies, and where God is busy walking and working. Don't you think Satan is not far behind of that? Because he wants to see what can he steal from you and how he can get to you. How can he take away that mountaintop experience? Because that was a step closer and closer in your relationship with God. And the commitments that you make in 10 days. And he's going to steal it. And he's going to scheme with you. And he's going to try to make deals with you. And it looks so genuine. Oh, when I look at these two people. You know, both of them has sinned. When God asked them what you've done, that is their blame shifting. It is blame shifting. Nobody wants to own sin. Nobody wants to. Genesis 3:12-13. God asked them, where are you? Who give you, you know, who told you that you are naked? That you eat from that tree? Well, hey, what are we going to do now? We are caught out. I wonder what would happen if they hear the voice of God and both of them run to him and say, Father or God or Lord, we have done wrong. I wonder what would happen. Instead of hiding and their shame and the fear and the guilt, we run to him. We've done wrong. Many times I wonder if it was only Eve who sinned, what would God also do then? Wow. Now these two, both of them acknowledge we have sinned. You're not sinned. I ate. Listen to what the woman said. No, the man. He said, now I put it on God. The woman you put here with me, the woman you gave me, Lord. You know, this wouldn't happen if you didn't give me this woman. Yes, I ate it. But how can I deny my wife? Well, I'm God. I am higher than your wife. And sometimes we listen more to our friends than to God. And we want their approval instead of God's approval. And then we became isolated. Because of we want their approval. We want to be the main peanut in the empty can. And we don't take it serious. And he said to the woman, what have you done? Well, I think of that, the woman you gave me. You know, we can sin, you know, because of God give all these plants. God give all these things. Come on, guys, we can smoke it. We can eat it. We can drink it. Because God, you actually made it. Don't blame us. If you didn't give these plants for us to, you know, to use for our health, they can eat it, they can drink it, they can smoke it. I don't know what can they do else with it. Blaming God, because no one wants to own sin. And then he asked the woman, Eve, what have you done? What have you done? Yes, I ate from it, Lord. I ate, yes. She acknowledged it. I ate it. But it is the servant who deceived me, Lord. That's why I ate it. You know what? I King Adam has forgotten the day when God bring his bride to him. You know, it's wonderful to be married. Hey, isn't it? No, amen. I will not change it for the world. I was 20 years old when I married. My wife was 19. And we have a lot of ups and downs. But I will change it for nothing. I was 20 years old. I am doubled married when I was single, man. Hey, and we struggle through life a lot of times. And we eat bags of salt up together. Sometimes I think she eats more than me, and sometimes I think I eat more than her. But together, we share through our trials, tribulations, heartaches, hardships, you know, through our wonderful ups and downs and the wonderful things that we can share with one another, talk to one another. We have a companion that we fit like a hand in a glove. In the beginning, it was stormy, man. It was like war. But I will not change it for the world. I won't know. I don't know what I will do if God mistake my wife. I don't know. I'm her guardian, I'm a protector, I'm a provider, I am everything else that she wants me to be, but God said, be it for her, I will be it for her. And sometimes I think I don't make a good job, and I didn't do a good job. And I try every day working on it, be better than yesterday. It's wonderful. Oh, and the guys who are not married, you don't know what you missed, but your time will come. Don't hasten it, let God do that thing. It's not something that we can do. Yeah, we can do it, and then we are like Abraham, Ish, and there's Ishmael. But you know what I see here? They can't comfort one another anymore. You know what is the devastating effect when you sit with a married couple and the one say, this is a pig, and this one say, that is a witch. This one is a cockroach, that one is a praying mantis. I was married to a praying mantis, now he's a cockroach. I don't want him. I don't love him anymore. They can't comfort each other anymore. Can't encourage one another. Can't protect one another. Because he said, she is the one, you give her to me. It is her fault. Put the blame on her. How are they going to walk home tonight? Because that fingers is like bee stings. It's you. And the other said, you. We sting each other. Like these, what you call these porcupines with those specks. If they come too close to each other, they pinch each other and they have to drift apart. Because if they come too close, they hurt each other. The very same thing, like Isaiah 59, come. And I want you to turn again there. Our foundation for my message. That very same thing that separates them from God, that put up that wall, like he say here in Isaiah 59 verse 1 and verse 2, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, your sin have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. That very same wall that is between me and God is that wall that is between me and my wife. That very same thing that eat my relationship with God up, it's that very same thing that eat my relationship up with my spouse and whosoever is around me. I'm separated not from him only, but also from her now, and from them, and from each other. Because I don't want to accept I have a problem. I deny it. And we think that our hearts, you know, many people say, no, it's okay, you know, my relationship is not too bad. You have none relationship. Listen, if you slam the door in the face of your brother or your sister, that very same door you slam in the face of God. Because the cross has two bars. You can't live only by one. You need two to make a cross. And if you slam it for your brother and sister not to listen to them, When they come to reprimand you or whatsoever, you slam that door also in God's face. Close it. So serious is it. Isolate. And my heart became harder. Someone said, oh, I write it down. He said, sin deceives us. And by deceiving, it cheats us. You know, I don't like to play these card games because people know just how to cheat. I don't like to play it because people like to cheat. They're deceiving you, and then they cheat you. And you find later out you've been cheating. Somebody is cheating on you. They deceived you. That's what he said. And it hurts your heart. Hebrews 3:13. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. You know, when I look at that man's face, what I'm talking about there, I can't even remember in Berlin, where was it? When I look in his face, I see the hardness of his eyes. He have a smile, but it is a fake smile. Do you know how you can discern a fake smile? You know how? When you look at him or her and they smile at you and the eyes don't smile with, it's fake. Because when your face smile, truly your eyes smile too. The light is on and there's somebody home there. But when it's fake, the light is on, there's nobody home there. Check it out. Now I want to come to my closing here. God said, my arm, my hand is not too short to help you. You can come out of your hiding place. You know, I said I can't remember to whom of when the pastor start with these strongholds thing, and I'm getting excited, man, because I know they're going to sit in that little lounge there, packed. I know that when the starting in that direction, I know, man. And I know in that all that crabs and that lobsters and that hawks that is hiding in the mud and in the walls of your life is getting irritated, and the Spirit of God is irritating the demons, and they have to come out. And I'm said to my wife, man, I'm looking forward to this because I know there's a few demons that are going to be slain here. God said, my arm is not too short. My ear is not at all. Listen to these verses. Isaiah 50 verse 2. Talk about his arm. He said, when I came, why was there no one? When I called, why was there no one to answer? Was my arm too short to ransom you? Do I lack the strength to rescue you? Do you think God lacks some power to put out that strong right hand of him? Always talk about victory, and he's powerful, and he's a conqueror. When that blood-stained hand, well, it's different from Abram's time. When he put that ram in that thorns, when he put his hand there, it was not blood-stained. But when he reached out now to you and me, that very same hand that is stretched to Abraham is now stained with blood. I lack no power to rescue you. There's my hand. What are many doing? I don't want it. I don't want it. You say Lamentations 3:44. Talk about his ear. You say, you have covered yourself with a cloud so that no prayer can get through. Why? Because of your sin. Because of that thing that isolates you from me. How many times I talked to you, a bone to pick. Many years ago in the AEB, you might not know that place. I was there, and there was Wundani Drotsky. I don't know if he's still alive. He preached one day a message where God said, I have a bone to pick with you. An apple get the skull with you. A bone to pick. I remember it until today, because that day God has a bone to pick with me. You can run. can't hide. God will find you. But if you keep on that cloud gonna be there. He's not deaf. He's not dead. He's not powerless. Oh, and then he asked us, let's come and let us reason together. Isaiah 1:18. Come and let us reason together. Come out of your hiding place. I call you. You see how awesome is God? He called them. Don't hide. Come. And that is the invitation all over the whole Bible, in the Old and New Testament, the invitation, come. For the child of God, you know, let me go first to the unregenerated, you know, the call is to the cross. To give me your life. To give your life to him. And he handled with them differently there. Yes, with love. But he handled them differently. Call to the cross or you perish. But for his child, a call to the throne of grace to be helped and receive grace. Yes, they will be saved by grace, no merits from themselves. Yes, we too, no merits of ourselves or what Christ has done for me. He handled his children differently. Yes, he chastised us for our good so that we can be partakers of his holiness, Hebrews say. So I want to encourage you to say, if you are hiding like an isolation tape, don't hide anymore. God is calling. And if you hear very, very closely, you might hear your name there. Come out. I want to give you rest. I want to restore you. The very first thing that the AA say for their counselees is what? In the 12-step plan, the first thing you have to do is acknowledge that you have a problem. Have you a problem? Yes, Lord. I can help you. You know, that is the awesome thing that he said, I can help you. The pastor said last night something profound. You know, you go to these humanist counseling and they can help you. Or you run to Paul and Paul said, I can help you too. For the one, you say, oh, you were born like this. Don't worry, it's not you. It's everybody else except you. It's not you. But for you. You know, the moment you touch the heart and you tell him you are a sinner, there's guilt, there's shame, there's remorse, there's everything. But the moment you say, go to the world, there's nothing of that. You feel actually good that you have a license to do that because you are born like that. And they label you and they leave you there and say, there's nothing better for you than just that. You're born like it, you're going to die like it. But here, no, here I can repent and here I am a sinner. And God said, I've come for you. I can help. Let me help. And he changed the life. And you don't have to be on pills and on, you know, all those stickers, not to smoke and have a chappy and that's not deliverance, man. Come on. I think we deceive ourselves. But may God bless his word and run to him. If you feel that little thing and praise God that he's going to take out so many stuff that you can't hide anymore. You have to run. Run, because the door is closing on us. May God bless you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and thank you for Adam and Eve. Lord, I stand amazed to see how many lessons we learn from these couple. I stand amazed. Then they didn't even have a mediator to intercede for them. We have one, Christ Jesus. Oh Lord, I pray that we won't isolate ourselves anymore. You want to help. Your arm is not too short, your ear is not dull. I pray that we will not continue longer in that thing that you have a bone to pick, that we will be so hardened of heart. That we are so deceived that it's just running like water from a duck's back. Please let it not be like that. Call them, draw them with cords of love. And Father, come and be glorified once again in your children's lives. If there's somebody who didn't know you, Lord, and that they will come to the cross, let they run to the cross. And for those who belong to you, that they run to the throne of grace. To receive it and to be helped in due time. Be the after speaker of your word, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.